The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing with your friends. I've got to tell you, real quick before we get into this, that people sharing these episodes, people going out and spreading the word, people going to their gaming groups and saying, hey, listen to Critical Hit. We're posting online. Here's my favorite real play podcast, or here's a podcast you should listen to if you love Dungeons & Dragons. People who go into their Twitter accounts and talk about Critical Hit. This is the only way we get the word out, right? I mean, sure, people could go on to iTunes and search, or they could go online and search.
Right.
But really, the best way to get more people listening is for you, dear listener, to go out and share the love that is Critical Hit. Or wear a t-shirt. Or make a sign.
Right.
Or do something to get the message out about
Critical Hit. Make a sign and like hold it up at your gaming store and go, woo! Anytime somebody walks by.
Surely, I mean, your comic/gaming store, whatever you may have in your area, I'm sure they have a game room, right, Matthew? You guys have game rooms, right?
We have two, yeah.
Two of them that they play Dungeons and Dragons.
We also have a table in the parking lot, so, you know, it could be three.
that people are playing the Dungeons and Dragons? How many times a week do people come in and play Dungeons and Dragons?
All times.
See, all you have to do is just go in and put a little sign up that says, have you guys listened to Critical Hit?
Have you heard the good news about Critical Hit?
Have you heard the good news about Critical Hit?
Wear a white shirt with short sleeves and a tie and go from door to door.
Yeah, no, you look
I've
good.
Come to share
the
Critical
Hit. We do need to get you a little couple of tabletops there, Matthew, that you can...
yeah, like a little tent.
Yeah, a little
guys.
Tent.
There you go.
So that you can put them. Guys. So that you can put them out. Will your boss let you
like
do that?
Be like Steve Martin in that movie where he's dating Deborah Winger.
Will your boss let you do that?
Do what?
Put out little Critical Hit tents for the tables.
I don't know. My boss and you have a lot in common, so he would probably ask me first, what's in it for me?
Well, I don't know. 4 years of advertising Gatekeeper Comics and Hobbies on Dune Engage, Topeka without asking him for a single cent. That's probably one thing.
Yeah. Whatever you do, whatever you do.
Every couple of weeks.
Whatever you do, Matthew, don't let these two talk if they have that much in common.
Oh, we've talked before.
Oh, dear God, no.
Because they'll just kill each
other.
I've
talked to Dion lots of times. As you can probably tell, no Rob and the Hosannas and Go Up High.
Hey,
no
D&D,
no D&D Brian.
Right.
No Adriana this week.
Right.
Because it is time for us to talk a level up episode.
That's right.
People have been like, wait a minute, haven't you guys already leveled up? Yeah, we leveled up about, I don't know, 15 episodes ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah, so...
Ooh, maybe I'll put this out this weekend. People listening to it go, wait a minute, it is this weekend.
Yeah, no.
Whoa, wait, it'll always be this weekend.
Oh my God, it totally is this weekend.
So people have been saying, hey, did you guys level up to level 13? This is the big turning point for young adventurers, right?
No, not at all.
Oh,
in in the past, we haven't always done shows talking about every level up. Early on, we did, partially because we were also explaining kind of what was happening to Steven, really, because Steven was learning to play the game as he went. Now that he's a little bit more solid on it, we've done a lot less of it. But level 13 is worth talking about in 4th edition because it is the first level where you start swapping powers. So at level 13, you get a new encounter power. And rather than just adding that power to the list, you pick one of your old encounter powers and get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this new power replaces that power.
Yes.
Stupid, stupid.
So if I remember correctly, I replaced, what, Force Orb? Is that what I replaced?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I replaced Force Orb with Thunderlance.
With Thunderlance.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, I am Lance.
So you might be looking at this and think to yourself, why...
Why can't we just have a whole...
Yeah,
why
can't we just have more powers? This seems stupid. Well, here's the thing.
Did it used to be that way? I mean, could you just amass 50,000?
No, 4th edition has always had this.
No, but I mean in past editions.
If you were a wizard, yes, you could have 10,000 powers.
Okay.
But everything worked differently. That's kind of like saying, back when there were, 17-ton dinosaurs around, could we ride around on dinosaurs? Potentially, but there were no people back then.
I haven't done this in a while, but in World of Warcraft...
It's like saying that car is inferior.
You actually just, your Thunder Lance becomes a +2 and a +5, and you get greater range and greater hit point damage.
I believe in World of Warcraft, you can walk up to someone and say, I would like to pay for a new soul, and they hand you a new one, and you sell your other one.
Yeah. So why trade out then? Why trade out?
So why trade out? Well, there's a few reasons, but the most important one is processing space.
Right.
Now, even in our own very streamlined, tight, and very stat-focused party, we have some people who don't always have every one of their powers or stats or feats in mind when they're going in.
Mm.
If every other level you just add more powers, there's just going to be progressively more and more and more powers. Here's the other thing. If you look at our fights, and this past fight was probably not even the best, not at all the best example, most of the combats on Critical Hit don't last more than 6 rounds.
Right.
This means that your character usually gets to shoot out 7 powers at most.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If they're standard actions, you get 1 action point, you only get to go 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 13 powers, you actually don't get to use all your powers in a fight.
Use about half of them.
So, to maintain to keep your character sheet to only 27 pages and to while simultaneously not giving you a paralyzing number of options, there is the level 13 and onward power swap.
So every level now, we're going to have to be swapping out a power.
Every attack power that you get from here on out, you will be swapping, except you will get 1 attack power at level 20 from your Paragon path. Doesn't get swapped, but you also don't get to pick it. You've already picked your Paragon path, you're just gonna get that at level 20.
So we will be able to keep all of our at wills.
Yeah, you get to keep you get to keep your at wills. The at wills don't change.
Okay,
it's only going to be encounter powers and daily powers that change. You also get to keep all of your utility powers. All the utility powers from your class stay. Those you do keep accumulating.
Okay.
Since you only get 1 every 4 levels or so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I guess for listeners, it's been somewhat, ever since we've gone from level 12 and 13 and what happened at the end of, I shouldn't say the end of that season because it wasn't. It was what happened with Spud.
Right.
I've got a new weapon that forced me to change out some powers. With that wand. The wand comes with Eyebite,
right?
Which is that wand.
This is the wand that Ket gave Orym.
Right. There's another one that I'm still getting used to.
Nosebite.
Yes, Nosebite and
Bite Bite.
And Bite Bite, yes. Bite, those bite, are the ones. Bite. Chin bite was another one.
I'm gonna if there isn't one, I'm gonna write a level probably like 15 daily power for Torque called chin bite. So like if it'll allow him to like grapple an enemy that's next to him.
Yeah. So because of that wand, you know, there's that other power that's been added in. It's an encounter power. Right. Then I've got Sloth Strike, which we've had a terrible time getting to stay on the character sheet because of the way the online system works.
Right now, the character builder doesn't like multi-class power swaps.
You would think that they would fix that.
Yeah, no, they really haven't. In fact, we had a very nice listener write into us and say, hey, guys, here's what you need to do. You swap out the power. You don't save it. You print the sheet and then save.
Yeah, and then it still won't be saved once you
save it. Right, right. Once you save it, it resets it to whatever you had before. So, yeah, every time, and that's the thing is anytime we add or change something about Orym's sheet, we have to print out the sheet first before saving.
So it's like literally every time we sit down lately.
And, you know, here's the thing. Steven likes to have his sheet physically in front of him.
I don't want Rodrigo yelling at me for having my laptop open.
Right, absolutely. And you certainly don't want me yelling at you because you have an old sheet, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
So a new sheet gets done, and, you know, he just got a new magic item. So I think, actually, for that one, we didn't print out a new sheet.
No,
since that one just
boots,
gives you a plus four to
the
to
boots
stealth.
We did print out a new one.
Now, here's the thing. So Orym picked a wizard power at level 13 and changed it out for a new wizard power. Torque had a significantly more complex thing going on because Torque also has a multi-class power swap feat. So we actually, in the character builder, I had to go in, unselect his cleric power swap feat or his power, take his fighter power that he was originally swapping for a higher level power, then swap that back for a cleric power of the appropriate level.
Man.
So in order to make everything function the way that you would, like by just having a sheet of paper, erasing a power and writing a new one in the character builder, sometimes things get really complicated.
And it's easier. Even though we're going through all this craziness.
Uh-huh.
It's actually easier for us
really
to keep
convenient.
Everything electronic
it adds,
than to...
It just adds everything up. We did run into one thing where Torque's new magic item doesn't...
doesn't factor into the calculations.
It doesn't factor into come and get it, but that's because come and get it is written in such a weird way. Like, come and get it is a really weird power.
They nerfed it.
So what did you swap in, Matthew?
What did I swap out, Rodrigo?
You swapped out a... Healing Strike or something like that it was called.
That's right.
And now you have Mantle of Radiance. Is that what it is?
I think it's actually... Hang on, let me find it. Mantle of Glory.
Right.
That does radiant damage.
Right.
But the thing about it was I actually hadn't used the Healing Strike a whole lot.
Right.
So I kind of forgot that I lost the Healing Strike.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one where I would hit and then I would heal.
Right. Well, and the other thing is that you got the Healing Strike by picking up a feat rather than at a power level. So you actually ended up like swapping out a power. You know, in fourth edition, there's a lot of ways to swap out powers and a lot of ways to trade out your powers and a lot of ways to get new powers. So you always kind of have to keep an eye on that stuff and, you know, just keep like basically just keep going over your sheet like. I would greatly recommend, especially as levels go up, to everybody who's listening who's playing in a fourth edition game, to like take some time like the day before the game, before your next session, and look over your sheet so that you will have this stuff like available in your head.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it gets to crunch time, you're playing, and you might forget that there's actually a really good option that you have.
Well, I will say this, and again, this is a strike against Wizards of the Coast with this online builder.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you print out your sheet, or at least for me, nothing is in the same place.
Right.
So when I get down to my power cards, if the handy haversack was in the bottom right corner of page 8, it's now in the upper left hand corner of page 10, and there's no rhyme or reason.
Well,
it's not alphabetical.
No.
Because this one for these...
It's actually what it is, I'm pretty sure, is it's added by a timestamp. So whenever the power gets added, it's like first it's sorted by what kind of power it is. So all the dailies, or rather all the at-wills are first, then all encounters, then all of the
dailies, modifiers.
Then like some of the... what are they called? All the utilities and then your item powers.
Yeah.
Right.
Within that, though, like they are ordered by the time you get it. Now, usually, because whenever you get something at a different time,
right,
that means that you have gotten it as you've leveled up. So they're kind of by level order, unless you swap something, which means that you might, a lower level power might end up farther back down the list.
I guess. Right. I just used to like it when all of my at will powers were all on one page. Right. All of my encounter powers plus the secondary attacks were all on one page. Now it's just like scattered everywhere. And when we added on those boots of stealth,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, where are these? And I had to search on the sheet, so I can understand Matthew's frustration when he's like, let me find that.
Right.
Because this stuff pops around all the time every time I print out something else. And I bet if I were to go and print this out right now, we wouldn't get the same arrangement of these cards as we had before.
No, not necessarily. I mean, definitely every time.
I'm sure they do.
Yes, every time you add something new, it has the potential. Here's the thing, at least you're not playing a monk anymore, because
sadly
every monk power is actually two powers.
Yeah.
And the way that they line it up now is really confusing,
because
the two versions of the power aren't side by side.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually split them to have like all the attacks first, then all the movement stuff.
Ugh.
So you have to like be, it's like playing like Battleship. It's like B1 is where your attack power is, and like C3 is where your movement power is, and like the card grid that you get.
I do not like that at all.
Here's the thing. Wizards of the Coast still has one of the better, possibly one of the few company-run character builders for a game. I mean, these things are really rare.
Yeah.
So, to a certain degree, we have to count our blessings that it exists at all.
Well,
but here's
just
the thing.
From the design and layout,
Dungeons & Dragons is the leader in role-playing games right now.
Sure.
But I don't know that they're always going to be, and certainly they have to be looking at stuff like the character builder and thinking to themselves, what can we do to make this more accessible and to make it better? Because the only thing that keeps this afloat is the fact that there isn't somebody who can make money out of a better option right now.
Yeah.
But pretty soon, there might be. Especially as they're getting ready to launch a new edition.
Mm-hmm. What else do we need to know about this level up? Anything?
Other than the power swap, which is the most complicated part, you get more hit points.
Right.
It's an odd number level, so your base attack bonus and defenses and stuff doesn't go up.
Right.
Obviously, every level you get to retrain something besides that. So mm-hmm. some of the other players have actually retrained some stuff. For example, I believe Adriana had a feat that specifically referenced scimitars, but since she hasn't been... She hasn't had a scimitar in her hand for,
a year. Yeah, is there a way then to, is there a best practices on swapping out these powers? Is it just like, oh, I've never used that one, I'm just going to swap it out? Or is this one of those situations where it's like, well, I guess for lack of a better term, you're using your stats to figure out what to get rid of?
Yeah, I mean, you can do it both ways. You can look at something and say, you know what, I have never used this power, that's the one I'm going to swap. But here's the thing. You're swapping a level like 1,
right,
3, or like whatever power, or like 9 power mm-hmm. for a level 13th power.
Mm-hmm.
So mechanically, the thing that makes the most sense is to swap out the level 1 power.
Right.
Now, I believe actually, possibly neither of you actually did that. And that's because you have a level 1 power that you like more than than that other power. For example, I believe your Thunder, whatever.
Thunder Wave?
No, the other one. The one you
Thunder
had before.
Thunder Strike? No.
Force Orb. Force Orb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good power, but it's a power that you very seldom got to use to full effect.
Right.
But Thunder Lance is going to be a power that you're able to use a lot more effectively, so it makes more sense.
Right.
I would strongly urge both of you that your next power swap should be that level one power because of damage levels. I mean, right now you're packing a power that probably does like maximum the equivalent of a two weapon power. If not a one weapon power.
And are these always going to be? Are these always going to be like encounter powers or swapping out for encounters?
You swap encounters for encounters, dailies for dailies. And here's the thing, my good friend who decided to play a wizard when he was a baby player. When Orym gets to level 15, mm-hmm. you're going to trade your, for example, your two level one daily powers for two new level 13
daily
powers.
Oh no, Flaming Sphere.
You don't have to get rid of Flaming Sphere. You can trade your like level 15 or whatever. I forget exactly what levels are. You can trade the next level of dailies if you want.
Which would either be Fireball,
uh-huh.
which I haven't used very much because it is just kind of a one-time
right.
power, although it does deal 46
plus. Yeah, a Fireball deals a bucket of damage. Yeah.
I probably have to start using that a
you
little
should
more.
Probably use it
but
a little more.
But it's all part of that. I've got to prep. You know, I've got to prep for the
right.
day. So what am I going to do?
Absolutely.
You know, and so in the past... You know, I've gotten screwed by its, do I use Fireball or do I prep Phantasmal Assailant? You know, mm-hmm. which one of those two do I use? And lately, the Phantasmal Assailant has actually been a little bit better.
Here's the thing. If you look at Flaming Sphere is now below the curve
right.
for damage.
Yes.
And what's the other thing? Lightning Serpent?
Acid Arrow.
Oh, Acid Arrow, which, you know, which you very seldom
use. Yeah, I don't
use.
Usually do that either.
So... When we start getting closer to level 15, you'll want to look at powers. And here's the other thing is, especially for a class like Wizard and Fighter that have gotten a lot of support, right? Wizard and Fighter were some of the launch classes.
Right.
So
right.
for as long as there's been 4th edition, there's been Wizards and Fighters, which means there's a lot of powers to choose from, which means a lot of the time there are almost straight up level up versions of powers. So you might be able to find something that's very similar to Flaming Sphere, but better.
Like double yeah. Flaming Sphere.
Like something that
Flaming
deals...
Cube.
Yes.
Flaming Dodecahedron.
Yes.
That's the one I want. Flaming Dodecahedron.
You get... So it's more polygonal as you go up in level because the rendering power gets better.
Yeah. Eventually you get
until eventually
the,
it turns into
Google
a sphere either. Again.
There you go.
Got the highest number of sides before infinity.
Yep.
So if we look at, say, my level one fighter power, the Comeback Strike,
mm-hmm.
that is the
That's
one
like
that
your favorite power, though, right?
Comeback Strike?
Yeah, isn't one of your favorites?
I think Comet Fall Charge is his favorite power.
Yeah.
Comet. Well, the thing is, when I think with the Torque Brain, generally what it breaks down to is kind of a funnel effect, where what hits the hardest mm-hmm. comes first. So yeah, you'll see a lot of Comeback Strike, and lately you'll see the Victorious Surge and the Frontline Surge because they hit hardest. Comet Fall Charge is the one that hits hardest of all, and you know you miss it the most, Scarecrow. But if I were to trade out Comeback Strike, well, first of all, if I were going to trade out anything and you were to say to me, what power do you want to trade? I would say, come and get it.
Mm-hmm.
My level 7 fighter power. Is that an option for me?
It's an encounter power, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's
you're
rare.
Not because you've already traded an encounter power, you're going to have to wait like almost 9 levels to
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, you get a new daily power you get a new attack power every other level, right? Every
right.
odd number level. But those levels you jump back and forward between dailies and encounters.
Mm-hmm.
So, this level was an encounter. Next level is an even number,
right.
and then next level is a daily. Next level after that is an even number, and then we're back to encounter. So you're like four or five powers
so
later.
What, I'm sorry, remind everyone again and me too. What happens at the evens?
At the evens, you get a feat.
Okay.
And
a new pair of shoes.
A utility power.
Okay.
So you always get a feat at every even level.
Right.
But also sometimes you get a utility. Basically, every other level you get a utility. Every other even level you get a utility power.
Okay.
Now, at even levels, don't we also get a boost to a particular stat?
Or no. No, those come around every four-ish levels.
Four levels.
Except not 12, because 12 is already really crowded. It just it gets a little confusing.
So we won't see that again until 16.
Probably not. Well, that's actually the level boost might come. I actually don't remember. I have to like look up the thing. Yeah. But you might.
You so might if I see look it before at 16. My comeback strike is 2 weapon damage.
Mm-hmm.
It's comparable. It's on the low side of my most dangerous.
Yeah, definitely
powers.
For a daily. Yeah.
So if I were looking at, say, now that's my level 1 fighter attack daily, right? It's gray.
Yeah.
Grays are dailies?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, it says at the top daily. So I have my level 1 gray daily, and I have the ability to swap it out at level 14.
15.
Is that correct? 15. Mm-hmm. So I get to level 15, and I'm looking at swapping it out. Am I going to get something that brings Comeback Strike back to the top of the list in terms of
whatever you get? Well, no. Whatever you get is going to be – it's like you take something out. If you look at it in terms of like stacking your powers as far as what does the most damage, you will very likely be taking out something from the bottom and adding something to the top. So you're going to trade out a low damage power for a very high damage power, or potentially – you know, if the damage on whatever power you pick is lower, a power that gives you more control, because fighters, you know, exert a lot of control over over their immediate surroundings and things like that.
So but at yes, that level, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It will be a significantly more powerful attack than Comeback Strike.
Okay, so if I look at say Unstoppable, that's a utility power.
Yeah, that is not going to trade or go away or whatever. You can have Unstoppable forever.
It would have to be an attack power.
It's going to be an attack power, yes.
It's going to have to be gray and say fighter attack,
yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes, exactly.
And then the level after that, it would be then fighter, the encounter I could swap out in theory.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a general question for either one of you guys. Have you ever, I guess it depends on the gaming and the players that you have. I know some people are all about the stats,
mm-hmm.
and so all they can't wait until I get that higher power, and as soon as I get that higher power, I'm going to be using that one all the time because it has more damage to it. But then do you get some players, too, that are just like, you know what, I've been using this one so much that this is my character's routine to do this? Do you get people that play it that way?
You can, and actually that's an issue with 4th edition, because 4th edition is built on this idea that eventually you are going to swap out powers. And you can hold off on swapping out, for example, your flaming sphere, right? I mean, we literally, somebody made, like Aldo made us a little flaming sphere guy.
Right.
And it's going to be kind of sad times the moment that Orym doesn't use his flaming sphere anymore.
Same way with Rock Fluent throwing.
Oh, the Queen's Rebellious Daughter?
Queen's Rebellious Daughter.
Yeah, but she was never part of the party.
I know, but she was always a cool figure to have around.
Sure. Well, what, did you eat it?
No, she's still sitting there.
Well, she might still be sitting there.
But flamey.
Right.
Oh, gee, Orym, you shouldn't have done that.
Oh, Orym, why'd you trade me out for something that does acid damage? Anyway.
But, I mean, do you run into that a lot where people are like, hey, here's my habit?
You run into it sometimes, and for me, as a dungeon master, I kind of have to, like, pat their heads and, like, be like, look, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, Steven.
The game needs you to swap out your powers. There are going to be times when the stats of the game, because 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, and Dungeons & Dragons in general, is a very rigid game.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when you have to make decisions that you don't necessarily feel your character would make to fit in with the rules. And you just kind of have to roll with it. It's dissonant, and it's a problem. And it's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't play Dungeons & Dragons, is because Dungeons & Dragons is very rigid in that sense.
Also, does the game... I mean, there's all sorts of damage. You got, you know, frost damage and fire damage
ice,
and acid damage.
Fire,
damage,
acid, lightning, thunder.
Is it even possible to create a character that just follows... You know, I just want to do everything that revolves around fire. That's where I want to do all my attacks are all fire.
Actually,
attacks
you can. You can, and it's very easy, but it's also kind of inconvenient because if you run up against an enemy that
has anti-fire,
that has fire resistance, then you run into issues. The interesting thing is that
yes, armor.
The interesting thing about that is that especially for like sorcerers, there's a few options that if you want to have a guy who is like brah fire damage, you can also like pick up feats and like features that say like this guy ignores the first like 5 points of fire resistance. So like even things that are resistant to fire will take fire damage from you and things like that. Right. But you really have to gear the character that way.
Do you discourage that in creation?
I don't, because if it's your character concept, then that's fine. Okay, let me phrase it again. If it's the character concept and the player is into it, I don't prevent them from doing it. I do discourage it because I think my character is a fire mage and I just want to fire mage at it. It's not a very good character concept.
Right.
So, like, I usually am like, okay, let's talk why your guy is so fiery and then let's work with that.
Right.
And hopefully that ends up giving us a much more broad character concept than that.
If you think about Avatar,
right.
You know, they're all air power, fire power, water power.
Right. But right, but that's also a completely different system.
Right. But I mean, if someone were like, "I want to develop a
or be an avatar,"
yeah,
this is a great example of where Paragon paths come in. Almost like for sorcerers, for example, which is what Smith was. There are at least a couple like straight up elemental guys,
right?
So it's like there's an ice one and there's a fire one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you get into things where, like, no matter what power you use, even if it's supposed to deal acid or whatever, you also deal, like, extra fire damage on top of it and things like that.
You have fiery acid. And, I mean, if you look at – that's actually not just related to Dungeons & Dragons. That kind of escalation, that power creep, if you want to call it that, is something that happens pretty much everywhere. It's like when I complain about the Marvel Universe, everybody who's smart in the Marvel Universe is now a super genius who makes force fields. So, you know, nuclear physicist Bruce Banner and cyberneticist Tony Stark and entomologist Hank Pym have all gotten to the point where as they quote unquote level up, they've, you know, gotten this same thing. And I like to think of it as that way. Once you've done something for a while, you do learn other things. And I think the nature of that, the storylines of the heroic tales that they want you to tell or that they want to make it possible for you to tell, I guess, with fourth edition, takes into account that maybe a 20th level entomologist isn't the scariest thing in the world. He might want a force field. We're going to give you the option to have that force field to keep up with the Joneses.
And that's the other thing is that, you know, the game tries very hard to give you both options.
Yeah,
it allows you to be a very specialized character or to be a generalist within the roles that you've picked. And actually, that's not even the case, not even within the roles you picked. You know, a Ket is a warlock. He's supposed to be a striker,
right?
But he's got mostly control powers.
Yeah, because I don't like to control.
Right, exactly. And you're supposed to be, or I'm supposed to be a controller, and you have mostly striker powers. So I guess that balances it out.
Yeah. Especially
you're both bad at what you do.
You're both two mediocre guys at what they do. Actually, in the most recent game, Ket was controlling the crap out of things.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, which was good, because I wouldn't have been able to do that with any of my stuff.
Orym was mostly getting eaten.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be a spoiler depending on when we release this episode.
Sorry.
But
oh, yeah. Or I'm getting beaten up is not a spoiler, my friend. At any point in time, we can run this episode that says, yeah, Orym got beat up pretty bad. And they'll go, that happened last episode.
In fact, I think it did.
Yeah.
Too mean. Okay.
No. What else?
Orym has 4 hit points.
Did we ever talk about...
Orym has 4 hit points. Torque did something stupid.
Yeah.
Did we ever talk about Torque becoming a cleric? It's been so long since we've done one of these episodes where we talk about...
I don't think we ever sat down and talked about it. Mechanically speaking, Torque has 2 feats that clerify him. One is the multi-class cleric feat, which I don't have in front of me, so I don't remember what it's called.
It's called... I think it was called Healing Blow.
No. It's that's the power. If you look in your feats, it should be there.
My feats.
And then the other one is
I'm looking at my feats.
One of the power swap feats, which is
Initiative of the Faith.
Yeah, Initiative of the Faith, and then probably either Acolyte Power or something like that.
Novice Power.
So basically what those do is the first one opens up all cleric options to Torque. plus gives him training in religion, and actually lets him
healing word.
And gives him healing word once per day. And then a novice power lets him swap out one of his encounter powers, which is what we mentioned before.
Right.
Where in order to make it work in the builder, I have to
swap and flip and
swap. It's basically what I have to do.
It's like switching the ESNs on two separate phones when one has a knife.
Want to carry on another conversation real quick. I mean, did we answer everything on the cleric real quick or not?
That is mechanically what the deal is with Torque being a cleric. Okay.
All right. There was a question before about the broadsword. And we talked about whether Orm could use that big broadsword.
Oh, the bastard sword.
The bastard sword, sorry. Mm-hmm. And you said no.
Right.
And then there was a conversation on Twitter where someone was asking, well, technically, can't he still use the broadsword? And you want to clear that up a little bit more because that may be bringing in a lot of emails.
Sure. So a bastard sword is a superior melee weapon, which means you need a feat in order to use it in melee and take full advantage of it. Basically, you can still use it, but you would not get the bonuses for it. You would just get the damage bonus and not the accuracy bonus.
Okay, so I wouldn't be getting I would be able to use the broadsword, the bastard sword as my implement to cast my wizard.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Okay,
so that's for stabbing.
Okay,
is you need a feat in order to use a bastard sword properly.
Okay, so
as a sword mage, you actually get all. You get all heavy blades as well as all light blades as implements.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be able to channel your sword mage powers through that sword. However, since you don't get the bonus for it anyway, like you don't get the attack bonus when you use a weapon as an implement, it gives using a bastard sword gives you zero advantage for channeling.
Okay, for channeling.
Right.
But for a basic melee attack.
Right.
Or for...
If Orm, for
Sloth
example...
Sloth Strike or Mordenkainen Sword.
Not Mordenkainen Sword, but Sloth Strike, yes.
Strike.
Or the One Sword. Basically, if you did that, actually, the One Sword wouldn't work because that one specifically cares about long swords, I think. The One Sword might work. But here's basically if you made that attack with a bastard sword, first off, let's forget about the fact that that bastard sword that you found wasn't even enchanted.
Right.
Let's assume that it had the same enchantment as the weapon that you currently have.
Okay.
You, Orm, would be taking a -4 penalty to the attack that he has in order to roll a d10 instead of a d8.
Why would I take a -4?
Because you're not trained in the use of a bastard sword.
But it says in my feats that I'm trained for long swords and spears.
Yes.
So isn't the bastard sword a long sword?
No, a long sword's a long sword.
Oh, okay. So that's a whole different group of swords.
Yeah.
Now, what if I got a spear?
You would not be able to use your sword mage powers because those care about swords.
Ah. Okay. I'm just looking at my Eldritch Soldier because I get a +2 for long swords and spears. So the next question would be, so could I use a spear for...
You could. For stabbing, but you couldn't use any of your powers with it.
There's also because I've got this wand, this now problem of...
When to use the wand and when to use the sword,
because that ends up being a minor action to draw one. Well, unless, of course, my sword is sheathed, but if I pull it out of the scabbard and then go, oh, now I need to use my wand...
When to use your wand and when to use your sword. Congratulations, this is what happens when you have Rob in your party.
Please tell us we're going to get some more magic items soon.
And don't look at me. You're the guy. You guys are the ones that are making it. See if you can finally get someplace where you can sit down and make them.
Well, we're still waiting for our ore to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Have you changed? I mean, I'm seeing emails and comments from people saying, man, Rodrigo sure doesn't give out very much stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain that again?
Rodrigo doesn't give out very much stuff is one of those things.
I want
like,
mad loots.
Rodrigo doesn't give out very much stuff is one of those comments that we get. Like, Rodrigo's challenges are too hard. And Rodrigo's, there was too much talking in this episode. Or there was too much fighting in this episode. Where basically, depending on what's happening, people are like... Oh my God, Rodrigo's fights are way too hard. Or I can't believe Rodrigo threw that at them. That fight was way too easy.
Well, but
Rodrigo doesn't give them very much, except in the episodes where you guys get 20 things. And then they're like, I can't believe Rodrigo gave him all that stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, here's a whole bunch of belts.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
But, I mean, but
belts
but
for
answer,
everyone.
But the answer, though, the easy answer, though, is, and we've kind of, I've changed this up as we release the shows, mm-hmm. where people are like, I don't want to listen to 3 episodes in a row of a fight. So I've been taking those episodes and just putting them out as one episode. Mm-hmm. So people who really want to get to the fight stuff can get to the fight stuff. And those people who want to listen to the role play get the role play over a couple of episodes. And we try to, I think if you go back, and I may be a little off on the estimate, but I think it's like at least every 4 episodes we have a fight, right? Mm-hmm. Every 4 or 5 episodes, there's a fight episode, and the rest are role play. And as far as the monsters that you're throwing at us, you're using the formula on how to calculate your monsters. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, based on where our what level we're at, we should be able to handle any monster you throw at us. Now, I mean, just based on the XP and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Bad rolls,
right?
Or good rolls,
right?
Or just people not having a right thing prepared or paying attention can totally affect how the battle turns out.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, I mean, make no mistake, I took a bunch of the party's stuff. Like, I would just you lose this and you lose that, and I don't care. And you guys are going to have to like claw your way back before you can have all this stuff.
Neener pants.
Yeah, exactly. It's like things are super hard right now because you guys are not properly equipped. And, you know, I get messages every once in a while. It's like, did you switch to like inherent bonuses? And is that why the weapons went away? And I'm like, no, these guys are just clawing themselves like practically to death, trying to scramble to do things because I'm evil.
Right.
Well, you are evil.
But then again, as far as when you're handing out stuff, you're mm-hmm. also following the rules of based on how much XP the month
no that's per level. You get a certain number of magic items of a certain level,
right, and that's what you're using as that formula.
It is although I do give you guys usually one extra magic item per level.
Okay. So I mean that seems
so I actually give more loot away than I should.
And it actually is, I don't know if it's just my expectation, but it is true that Rodrigo gives away more stuff than, I don't want to say than I would necessarily, but more stuff than I think is absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say Rodrigo doesn't give away very much stuff, I'm like, really? Because it seems like every time we get stuff, we get a lot of stuff.
I'm looking at my equipment and I don't have magical rings that give me enhancements or arm protections or hand thingies. I mean,
you have an armor, you have a next slot item, you have a belt, you have shoes, you have a helmet, which actually only two of you have a helmet.
Right. But I'm wondering, though, if a lot of other people at this level are already like, oh man, I've got like every time I go out adventuring, there's a chest there that I just pop open and there's some new magical piece of equipment.
No, I mean, I'm following the rules as far as how this is supposed to go. They might, but then they're more stuff.
Right.
The other thing is that up until very, very recently, you guys were just sitting on every amount of money that I gave you. Like, I just kept handing, like, every level, you get a certain amount of cash. No, now you're spending it on taxis.
A little bit, but I mean, if you look at it, we've got
it's funny because, you guys are like a college student that just got to NYU. You're spending all your money on taxis and calling your parents. Like, that's what the party's doing.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, that's funny.
That's because it's the fastest way to get from point A to point B.
Yep.
And, you know, if the parents would actually pick up the phone every once in a while.
Well, they're busy.
When we eventually meet Ket's father, I will give you money. I will give you real money if you do it with a Sean Connery accent.
Ket, you're such a disappointment.
I can't believe you're such a tool. His father has to be James Bond.
All right.
We went to Nerdtacular months ago. Mm-hmm. By the time this episode airs, it's been months, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think is probably August, September by the time
this episode will air on St. Swithin's.
It might actually.
It's almost Nerdtacular again, I'm
so
sure.
So we were at Nerdtacular and someone came up to me jokingly. What happened to all those images on blah, blah, blah? He was joking because he knew but they're gone. Don't expect them to come back anytime soon. So don't ask. The other thing that people still ask is, No, but the thing is, I don't have time at this point. Maybe, perhaps, if we reach our funding goal,
you can hire an intern to do it.
We can hire an intern to do that. And I would have more time to do that and be able to focus on that. And the many other things that we have boiling that are just not ready to pop forth yet. But the other question that still comes up is, hey, man, can I play with you guys in your group? Do you guys have like guests come on to do a round? You want to address that again?
Sure. We do not usually do that. For a handful of reasons. One, we don't play any extra games with the Critical Hit crew because it's hard enough to get our schedules together to play the main story that we're playing. Second, right now the table's full. We're not, we don't want any more people right now. Five players is about the max that I want to be running with at any given point. And furthermore, everyone who is at the Critical Hit table was somebody that basically I picked out.
Yeah,
I mean, the Critical Hit team is a group of people that I knew prior to playing with them on Critical Hit that I thought were going to be a good mix, a good person, like their own actual personality would bring something good to the game. Their gaming expertise would bring something to the game. And they
I'm
would
the only legacy. I'm the flounder.
They would be creating characters that I thought would be different, very different from each other. And that is the case. So, I mean, we're not looking for any more players. If one of the players decides to leave Critical Hit or we decide that we want to add another player, which is actually very unlikely, I will go find new players. So keep your audition tapes right now. I'm probably not gonna have a call for them.
And the other question
after the bombs that you installed in our necks.
Yes.
Yeah. It'd be very hard for any of us to leave. Or maybe not. I don't know. The other question that comes up a lot is, hey, what would have happened if...
... Right. I'm not in the habit of telling people what would have happened if a decision was different. I don't tell... Playing and running other games, I never tell my players what would have happened if they had done something different. Because that's the whole point. Making that decision and being kind of tortured by what could have been part of the intensity of the game. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but Critical Hit is a game that I would say has a medium to high intensity at any given point.
Snip at each other sometimes.
Well... I didn't necessarily mean between the players.
No, I did.
Oh, well, there you go. There's that too. I would say that that's not at all. That's not something I do.
Yeah.
But
oh, really?
Anyway,
I meant foster a hostile environment.
Okay, I thought you meant you don't answer. Cheese sandwich. How about that?
Right. Because I don't need to. In any case, what was I saying?
Oh, you don't want to tell the what ifs because
it's part of that decision, and you know, it's like if we had gone. If we hadn't killed that character, if we had decided to actually go along, right, exactly. If they like, what would have happened if the party had actually managed to get away from the Hogba? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows what would have
probably happened. An entirely different game.
You think?
Possibly.
But the other thing too, though, and I've seen you, you'll CC me or we'll talk about it. You might be using some of the concepts that you didn't get to use in a future.
Right. Anything. Because I have all these ideas that I might incorporate into the game. And sometimes it's an idea that stands on its own or can be incorporated into something else. So if I don't use it, I'm usually not going to tell someone, oh, I almost did this, because I can actually use it later.
What about, can you give an example of where you've done that already?
Or
maybe not in this game, but in another game?
I mean... Let me think.
That would be the same as giving an example.
No, because it's already happened. I mean, probably the anchors for the Void Gods.
Mm-hmm.
I had used similar things in previous games, but they didn't get didn't really get explored.
Oh, okay.
So Rob ruined it.
No. These games were like before I even met Rob. So it's like, well, no person ever heard what the deal was with these stones. So I'm just going to use them later.
Okay, cool. All right. Anything else that we need to cover?
I don't think so.
Members.majorspoilers.com. Site is open. It's our VIP section for our people that contribute $2, $5, or $10 a month. If you're already signed up, then you probably have already been migrated in by now. If not, you will be soon. Or you can go over there and you can sign up for the bronze, silver, or gold level. At the bronze level, the $2 a month, you get exclusive art that Adriana sketches during her Critical Hit campaign. You're not going to find these anywhere else, or I don't think you're going to find them anywhere else. Exclusive to that site for our $2 and up members. At $5, you get some behind-the-scenes stuff and bonus tracks. That's for $5 and up. And then when we hit our goal, our $10 a month winners will be getting a couple of podcasts. Our $5 a month people will be getting a podcast as well. That's all if we hit our 6,000 member goal that we're driving towards. I think we can do it. And with your help, I know we can.
Mm-hmm.
It's so close. Yes, we're still at about, 20-25%, somewhere in between there. But, all it takes is one big push from people to say, you know what? I want this exclusive content. I want access to this. I can't wait for a brand new gaming podcast. I can't wait for a new drama podcast to come out from you guys, as well as ensuring that the websites all continue on their wondrous path. If you can do it, that's great. I know some other places where they're wanting you to do a whole lot more than... I know one place that's doing like $250 a year.
Jeez.
That's a lot. And maybe it's worth it. I don't know. I can't afford the $250 myself, but... $2 a month, $5 a month, $5 a month. That's pretty easy, right? That's like two packs of miniatures, pretty much.
Yeah, miniatures are expensive.
Yeah.
You don't want miniatures.
So you can go over and check that out now, members.majorspoilers.com. Thank you for downloading and listening. If you have any questions, podcast@majorspoilers.com. Don't be afraid to send them our way. We will get to them when we can get to them. I think we're almost caught up. I think in the next mailbag, we will be caught up to the most recent emails. So that will be coming up probably, I think people have been watching, it's between 4 and 8 episodes from now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do another mailbag. So be on the lookout for that. I think that wraps it up. I think that's all we need to talk about. Hopefully that answered your questions about level 13 and what we did and why we did it. Answer some other ongoing questions that we always get. So we won't tell you, go back to episode 3 and listen to the explanation.
Yeah. Right. Go back to episode 729.
We're going to have to... Oh, I think we're going to have to create a wiki. We may be working on that. That's one of those goal things that we're working. That's one of those goal things that we're working on as we approach our goal.
Goal things.
Things will start to appear and happen in glorious, wondrous things. More time to do lost art. More time to catalog comics. More time to do more giveaways and all those great things. You can find out more at majorspoilers.com. Check us out. I think we're doing some good things for you. Most of it for free. So please share, spread the word, spread the good word, and most of all, thank you for that. And, or I guess I should say, most of all, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.